Hello listeners, and welcome to today's podcast where we invite our guests to bear all and spill the tea. Today's Spill the Tea podcast is brought to you by me, Casey Kelly, and my co-host Sarah Andrescu from All Saints Academy, and we are pleased to introduce Paul Etheridge and Elliot Cowling from Balcarres School.
We are also joined by Grace Clark and Poppy Gilpin from Pittville School.
Joining us, we have the pleasure of welcoming today's guest who is moving mountains and making history in Cheltenham with his involvement in the Golden Valley development. Reid is the strategic advisor on innovation and technology at the Golden Valley development. Reid has a wealth of experience of working in the field of software and security systems and has spent much of his career leading innovation on behalf of the UK civil service.
Today, we are really excited to get the chance to catch up with you, Reid. Thank you for joining us.
To kick things off for our listeners, Reid, could you give us a brief overview of your career and how that has led you to taking your current role in leading strategy and innovation for the Golden Valley development?
Well, thank you so much for having me today. And it's been a lovely cup of tea. And what an intro. I'm not sure I'm that sort of impressive, but thank you so much for having me. In terms of my career, so I studied electronic engineering up in Scotland, where I'm from. You can probably hear a little bit of my accent. And I came down to Cheltenham as a new graduate to work for government as an engineer. And that was such a long time ago, 30 years now, I think, which is just a lifetime for lots of people, more than one lifetime. And I have been involved in all sorts of interesting projects as an engineer, getting into software development and data and cybersecurity. And really, I suppose in the last maybe 10 or 12 years, I've got increasingly involved in innovation projects and working across different sectors in government, in industry, academia, and doing a little bit of travel with work. So I've been really fortunate to have a great career as an engineer and working across a number of different areas. And if you'd asked me when I was at school, you know, would I have been doing what I'm doing now, I would never have believed you. But it's been super exciting. And Golden Valley is just a great project. Really, really interesting.
Can you summarise the Golden Valley development in three sentences?
Gosh, three sentences. Well, we are building this world-class campus. It is a campus that is going to have innovation at its heart, where we can develop new high-growth startups, technology-based. But it's not just a place to do innovation and to work. It's a place to live and hang out. We want it to be the world's best intelligent garden community, which is the strapline. So the best of urban and rural together on your doorstep.
Do GCHQ have much involvement in this development?
I think GCHQ have some involvement in this because of the whole cyber sector, and they're right on the doorstep. I think what's really interesting is that actually this is not just about government. This is about the public and the private sector working together, because when we think about things like cybersecurity, this involves everybody. It involves academia, it involves private sector companies, as well as government institutions. So it's really great having GCHQ next door, but it won't be led by GCHQ. It's actually being developed as another organisation led by Cheltenham Borough Council.
How will this development have a positive impact on Cheltenham?
Well, I think it's going to have an incredible development impact on Cheltenham and wider Gloucestershire, really. In so many ways. I suppose at the heart of that, we are really looking forward to the new jobs that get created as a result of the new development. I mean, there will be jobs involved in actually building the campus, the new office space and the innovation centre and the new homes. But it's more than just that, actually. The companies and the organisations that will be working on the campus, we're really hoping that they'll be able to create the new products and services for the future. So a lot of high technology jobs, and then all the services that you need around that. So we have plenty of space for food and beverage outlets, and for technology companies, you don't just need to be have computer scientists and engineers. You need people that understand finance and that understand marketing and the whole social sciences. So there's a whole breadth of jobs that we think will be needed. And then on the home side, you know, given we've got COP26 coming up and a climate emergency, we want to do the best that we can when it comes to building homes and buildings that are fully sustainable. And that includes sort of embodied carbon as well as operational carbon. So we've got an opportunity to create something that is really special that we haven't really seen anywhere else.
What has been the most challenging part of the development so far, and do you foresee any further problems?
Well, Cheltenham has never done this before. We've never built a new innovation campus that is potentially, 2 million square feet on our doorstep. So it's a massive enterprise. Having a local council, Cheltenham Borough Council, lead this. It's a relatively small council to do something that's so large and work with so many stakeholders. So I suppose what's been most challenging, I guess, is getting all the different stakeholders, the organisations to work together. I mean, it's not that challenging in the sense that once you have a very clear vision and purpose and people see the potential benefits, that's actually been overcome. And in terms of further problems, well, you know, we're just at the process. We've got a preferred bidder, Henry Boot Developments, and Factory, the innovation operator. So we're looking to have a contract in place probably around January time, I guess. So we still a lot of work to be done. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, but, you know, there's a lot of hard work to be done to do the planning and to work out exactly how everything's gonna work. So there's a lot of challenges, I'm sure, coming up in the future. One of the big challenges we had actually was launching the project when we were looking for a development partner. We were going to go to the property show to launch the project, and then COVID happened. So we had to do a soft launch online, and we got a local company to create a video for us, like a little advert, which you can see on our website, Golden Valley. But that we had to sort of pivot away from that physical launch. So that was quite challenging. But in the end, it was actually, it worked out really well.
How will the development improve the lives of young people in Hester's Way and Springbank and the town as a whole?
Well, I think, it'll be a nice physical environment. There'll be some great features in terms of park space and water features and so on. So there'll be places to go. In terms of the activities, though, there will be loads of new jobs coming up, and also companies that will be locating there that I'm sure will be able to have things like work experience. All the skills are evolved from Cheltenham. You know, there's so many opportunities to work with them. I mean, in terms of other sort of benefits, we don't really know the full extent, really, because yes, a lot of this is high technology, but we're working very closely with Cheltenham Festivals, looking at some projects for young people there. There's a really great project called Dataface, looking at how we can explore open data sets. So there's a whole load of different things that we could be doing. But I guess principally, we're bringing the world to Cheltenham, really, when it comes to sort of technology. So there will be jobs. I think that's probably one of the big things.
How are you ensuring that the development is environmentally friendly?
Well, so part of the procurement exercise was about making sure that we had high environmental standards in the specification. And so, that's been a really important part of the procurement. It's not just about, you know, creating buildings and getting sort of rental income. It's actually about doing the right thing for the environment. So that's been a really important point. And then, of course, you know, Cheltenham Borough Council, the sort of lead agency running this, making sure that we've got the right sort of environmental officers involved. And, you know, the preferred bidder that we have, Henry Boot, I mean, they put a lot of effort into environmental design and thinking. And ultimately, you know, it is the right thing to do. And it's challenging because, you know, we don't necessarily have the whole building industry focused on building, you know, carbon neutral homes. So there's a lot of work to be done. It's not normal to do that. If you look at new houses at the moment, they're not all carbon neutral or negative. But it's a real aspiration. And it's something that, you know, we've tasked the developers to do.
What is your favourite part of the development so far?
My favourite part is meeting all the people and the organisations that want to get involved and get so excited about the possibilities for the future. I just love meeting new people and looking at what the possibilities, what the art of the possible is. And there's so many things that we just haven't thought about that, you know, could be a feature in Golden Valley. So every day is interesting and exciting. There's so many different things that we could do.
What new opportunities will it give to people of our generation?
I mean, I don't want to bang on about jobs again, but that's clearly one thing. I suppose the other thing that we're really interested in working with academia is, particularly on the research side, can we create an environment that will enable lots of different research to happen, whether that's research on smart cities, smart devices, what if we were to put out lots of different types of sensors in the campus, you know, for measuring things like air quality, so there's opportunities there for research. And I guess that could be done even with schools. You know, you can think about projects that you might want to do. You might be able to do that in Golden Valley. Because, of course, you know, we're sort of, it's like a new town, really. I mean, it's part of Cheltenham, but it will, you know, we'll be able to build from scratch. So we can actually build out the infrastructure, the roads, the cabling, and if there are any cabling, and all the sort of technical infrastructure, as well as how the buildings fit together. I mean, how often do you get to build a new town? That doesn't really happen very often. So I think there's plenty of opportunities for that. In terms of other things, I mean, we haven't really talked about things like entertainment and, you know, could there be a skate park there or something? So I don't really know. I mean, I think that's where we need to get our thinking caps on and get involved with the project to look at, you know, what could be done. Because at the moment, the plans haven't gone in. So we signed the contract, hopefully, as I say, in January. And that's when the early planning will start to go in terms of applications. So this is the time now to start thinking, what would you actually like? So maybe turning the question around to you, what things would you want to see if you could wave a magic wand?
I think it would be quite nice to have like some sort of sports centre with like a pool or an ice skating rink.
I think a theatre would be good to promote more music and drama in Cheltenham.
I think a really good idea would be a library to promote education.
I think a cinema in the community, and I think young people would really appreciate that.
I'm thinking a common room for lots of different activities. It could be underground, and it would just be a fun place to be.
I'd love individual restaurants to boost individual businesses and economies.
I'm not promising, but it's okay. A great idea.
My next question is, when will it be finished?
Well, I mean, when will it be started, really? Because, as I say, we haven't actually started the building yet. So the idea at the moment is that by the end of 2024, beginning of 2025, is when we'd hope the campus would be open. We're looking to do what is called meanwhile use before then. So actually, can we put up some buildings in the early stages? I'm guessing, back end of next year, probably 2023. Because, of course, it takes a long time to put planning applications in and to get the designs right. And we want to learn as we go. So I reckon, yeah, probably 2025. So what's that, three or four years away for things to really start going. So we've got time now to make sure we get the design right and we get everybody involved.
What environmental impact will it have and will it be worth it?
Yeah, I mean, again, really good question. You know, there will be an environmental impact in the sense that if you're building new buildings, you know, you are, and you're putting in concrete and other things, you know, that's going to have an impact. And I guess if you're removing grass and trees, then you know that could have a carbon impact. I mean, I think this will be a very sensitive development, and as I say, you know, that the specifications required are required to make it very high standard. Whether we can make it carbon negative, that's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, these are all challenges. So we want to do the best that we can. And remember that we're trying to build something not just for the next 5 or 10 years. This is something for the next 30 to 50 years. So this is an asset for Cheltenham and for Gloucestershire. So it is our responsibility to do this well.
How will it be paid for and what will it cost?
Good question. I mean, so the land, so Cheltenham Borough Council has bought 45 hectares in two plots for £37.5 million. So a lot of money for just part of the land. There's also, Cheltenham has committed to quite a lot of money, I think, might be 180 million for housing over the next few years. And then we'll be expecting private sector investment as well for the development. And, you know, that's all yet to be sort of specified.
Now, we wouldn't really be spilling the tea properly if we didn't ask you a few gritty questions at the end to find out the stuff that our listeners really want to know. At the end of all our podcasts, we are asking our final thirsty three questions to really juice things up for our listeners. Our guests haven't been sent these final thirsty three questions, so now is our chance to really get to know them.
First up, what is the most outrageous thing that you've experienced with regards to the development so far?
Outrageous, gosh. I'm not sure outrageous is the right thing. I mean, maybe more scary. I had to broadcast from a studio in Kidderminster, and it was terrifying. Fortunately, we had a technical rehearsal before, but just knowing that there was like 1,000 people listening to me and watching me was quite embarrassing. But yeah, that was terrifying, more than sort of outrageous, I suppose.
Looking back on your life, if you had to thank one person, whether you know them or not, that is at the centre of everything that you've done, and that is your ultimate inspiration, who is that and why?
Gosh, I could probably say my father, who encouraged me at school. I would probably say Sir Clive Sinclair. Now, you probably don't know who Sir Clive Sinclair is, but he just recently died a few days or weeks ago. He created a personal computer back in the 1980s called the ZX Spectrum. And when I was probably your age, maybe a little bit younger, I got one of these computers for my Christmas, and it was just transformational for me. That got me into computing, and well, as you say, the rest is history. So I wanted to do something with computers, and I'm not sure that would have happened without Sir Clive Sinclair and the ZX Spectrum.
What is the worst piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Don't eat yellow snow. I mean, I don't actually know. I was thinking about this. Have I been given any really bad advice? Don't work for the civil service. Yeah. No, I don't think I've actually had any bad advice that I know of. Or if I have, it was either so bad I've forgotten about it, or my memory's just gone. So I don't think I've had any bad advice for you.
Reid, you've been an absolute star, and thank you for spilling the tea with us here at All Saints Academy.
This podcast is brought to you by the Cheltenham Education Partnership, and it has been fantastic to work alongside our partner secondary schools to get to know our surrounding professionals even more.
Tune in next week for our celebrity special, where we are joined by inspirational actress, activist and Harry Potter's very own Luna Lovegood, who will be meeting us at Cheltenham Literature Festivals to discuss her new book, The Opposite of Butterfly Hunting. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait for next week, where, as usual, we promise to
spill the tea.
Today's Spill the Tea podcast was brought to you by the Cheltenham Educational Partnership.